Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another reality show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and we have another fantastic 2 hours coming up on this very Thursday evening. So sit back and relax and, you know, get snuggly if you want. You know, grab your slippers and your blankets and your tea and sit around the campfire, because I got some amazing guests tonight that are going to share their wisdom and their energy, and it's going to be a great show. Now, well, let's get Karen on the line. Okay, so first of all, Karen Anderson, who is a worldwide known psychic, and she speaks to animals, animal communicator. She's incredible. Me and Karen have this lovely story of bringing her on the show has been a true testimony of me and Karen and persistence. So first and foremost, welcome to the show, Karen Anderson. It is such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. I feel like woohooing it because we finally did it.
Exactly. Hi, listeners, you're not privy to this, but we really went through some really interesting things to connect with the two of us on the show, including one night my engineer didn't show up. Karen wasn't feeling well. It was we just had some interesting roadblocks, but we were both determined to create the show, and tonight the show is being created, and I'm super stoked. Now, I love it. See, Karen, I know you have a following because my switchboard is lit up like a Christmas tree.
Well, that's just wonderful to hear.
Yes, indeed. Everybody, I know you love Karen. I love Karen. Karen had some dental work done in the past 24 hours and is not feeling up to doing readings. So I hope you'll stick around and hear some amazing animal communication stories. We're still going to be sharing the energy of the animal kingdom and the wisdom that the animal kingdom shares with us, and it's going to be an amazing show. So let's get on with the show. So, Karen, first of all, since you have not been on my show, I would love for anybody out there who doesn't know you, even though I can tell just from the thing, they all know you. You've got a following, but tell us how this all began with you, and you know, how does one become so intuned with energies and frequencies, and you know, from different species?
Well, you know, I would have to say that I was probably the least likely subject to end up as a psychic or animal communicator because I was kind of a boring, regular kind of person. I worked in the mortgage industry for almost 18 years.
Oh, wow.
I had a desk job at a computer, and I was a deputy sheriff for a while in the state of Colorado, and that's really where I sharpened all of my intuitive skills, is in law enforcement, because I don't know a single cop out there that is not intuitive, because they don't call it that, though. They'll call it a gut feeling. You'll never hear a cop say, oh, I had this intuition about this person. No, they'll say they had a gut feeling about something.
Okay.
And I was really able to sharpen my skills during my years in law enforcement, and now here I am, a full-time animal communicator, pet psychic, whatever you want to call me. I talk to animals, and they talk to me. And I have literally done a 180 from this mortgage desk job that I used to do to now working in the psychic realm, which is a completely opposite side of the brain, if you know anything about the science of it.
Right, indeed.
It was quite a, I'm going to say, a very winding road, but now that I look back at it, Goldie, it all makes sense to me now in hindsight, of course. It all makes perfect sense.
But when you look really back on where you mean where you came from to where you are.
Right, and how you go from mortgage to law enforcement to psychic. I mean, it doesn't seem like it fits, but when you think about how I had to develop my skills somewhere, I had to learn how to trust my inner voice. And that's what it's all about. You have to trust that the information that's coming in is accurate. And that's what the law enforcement stage of it was for me. And you don't have to become a police officer to learn how to communicate with animals. But that was a step for me. That was something I had to learn. And up until that point, I don't feel like I was very intuitive, although now looking back on it, I can see that there were like mile markers along the way of things that happened or things that I experienced where I was like, oh my gosh, now I know that I was having psychic phenomenon back then, but I didn't realize it at the time because I was stuck in a regular job doing something I absolutely despised. And I finally one day just said, you know, I just want to give something back. I feel like I have something more to offer. And that was when I went into the police academy.
Wow.
So it was really quite a leap of faith, I will say, for me to go from that kind of work into being a full-time psychic. But, you know, now it is such a big part of my life, and it has changed my life completely. The animals have not only helped me see how to be a better person and how to live my life better, but they've also taught me about death and dying and the afterlife and what they're doing over there and who they're with and what they want us to know. And they talk to me about reincarnation and some of these things I had never even thought about before.
Right.
And they have given me all of this wealth of information.
Yeah, no, because what's so amazing is, you know, I'm so getting this right now, that what you just said in your intro, there are two major points that if we could go into them a little deeper, I think they're really pertinent, and I'm seeing the beauty of why maybe the readings weren't happening, because there is really a pertinent information that I want you to share with the audience. The first thing was that you started off in a job that was very left-brained and what I would call, you know, very socially acceptable. And as you're moving through your experience, you know, it's interesting because you're the second animal communicator who I know was a police officer.
Isn't that weird?
Yes. I mean, all of a sudden it hit me. I went, wait a minute, I've had you on the show before. And it's like, no, that was Anna 20. And it was like, she also is an animal communicator. But what is fascinating and what I think is so pertinent to these times right now is I think there are many people that are going to wake up to potentially doing careers in energy work, careers in the psychic phenomenal, the paranormal. So I really want to talk about, like, how you walk through that, like the courage, the trust, the sense of, you know, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm thinking the sense of where you knew you were, like, what led you to know police officer from mortgage? How did that come about for you? Because I think there's a huge awakening of people that are going to start making the transition in their careers, and sharing this is exquisite.
Well, it is. It really, when I look back on it, I don't, at the time, it wasn't very fun, and it was a big struggle and a challenge. And now that I look back on it, I realize that I needed to go through that. And when I was in the mortgage industry, and some of you that are listening can probably relate to this, I was always getting in trouble. I was always getting written up. I got fired from...
Sorry, I don't trust. Sounds like me.
Yes.
Sounds like me, yes.
I got fired once from a mortgage job, and there were signs all over the place telling me that I was in the wrong field. I was in the wrong career. I was doing the wrong thing with my life, but I ignored them, Goldie. I ignored all of the signs, and my guides were like hitting me over the head with this invisible baseball bat going, Karen, hello, we're trying to give you a message here, and you're not listening.
Okay.
And so 18 years of my life goes by, and I have, like, all these mortgage jobs passed, and I don't like it. And we moved to a little town in Colorado by the name of Bailey, and they had a very small animal control shelter there. And I, of course, love animals, so I went up there to volunteer. And the animal control was underneath the sheriff's department. It was run by the sheriff's department. So I spent a lot of time with the animal control officers who were regulated by the sheriff's department. I went on ride-alongs, and then in doing that, I started riding along with the deputies. And once I rode along with the deputies, I was hooked. Well,
yeah.
I was all into that. So that's how it all came to be.
Yeah, that's exquisite. So the animals were still directing you at that point.
Meaning
from the passion of the animal came the next step to, because I love the way you exquisitely said, becoming a police officer, you really learned to trust yourself.
I had to, because here's the deal, Goldie. I worked in a small mountain district that was the size, the entire district was the size of Rhode Island. So we're talking a lot of land. And they, right out of the police academy, I think they did this on purpose because they thought they were going to scare me out of being a cop. They put me on night shift by myself.
Wow.
Small department, and, you know, your nearest backup car was sometimes a half an hour or more away.
Oh, my
and
God.
You really had to be smart. You had to really trust your instincts. I had to learn how to walk into a scene or into a room or into somebody's home or into a wherever I got called. And I had to learn how to read people in a second because my life depended on it. So it really became kind of a self-preservation tool, but I learned how to trust my instincts and basically have a sense of what was going on all around me that I never used before in the mortgage industry. I just kind of ignored it. I didn't need it. It wasn't
yeah.
a sensory perception that I needed. But as a cop, you better believe it. You need eyes in the back of your head as a cop. So that was really my training as far as learning to trust and to really gain confidence, because once you're a police officer, if you have ever been in law enforcement, it's a really tough job. And I honor all police officers, and especially those who have given their lives in the line of duty, because let me tell you, it is a thankless job. And
yeah.
you really do kind of get a sense of you're giving, but am I really making a difference? Am I really helping? Because all you deal with is such negative stuff all the time.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
that's got to be hard on the energy field, definitely.
It is. It's really hard. But it was a great opportunity for me to learn all kinds of stuff in law enforcement, and I met some wonderful people on the department. My husband was on the same department that I was on, so we were both cops at the same time. And so it was kind of fun for us. And it was the leap of faith. When I left the department, I got back into the mortgage industry because I wasn't quite ready yet to do what I'm doing now. And then it was even worse, Goldie. I got even in more trouble. And, oh, yeah. I had a giant target on my back because everybody was after me. And I seriously was not a happy camper. And it was only about 2.5 years later that I quit my full-time job in the mortgage business and became a full-time animal communicator. And that, my friend, is a leap of faith.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yes.
Kudos. And also, I would like to say for my inner circle out there who know me personally, I love police officers. They recently it is not thankless. Let me say it throughout the airwaves, throughout the cosmos. I love police officers. Huge shout out to every cop, every officer, every security guard, everybody that is out there as a job, as a career to protect me. I love you guys. I love you guys. Something actually personally happened to me, so I felt a strong desire to say that. So, sorry. I had to get that out.
You know,
yeah.
Remember that they're dealing with all the people in situations that nobody else wants to deal with.
No. Big shout out. Big warm
yep.
golden hug. Seriously.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then it was, you know, it was while I was a police officer, and this is when I got my first message. And for those of you that are stuck in a job or stuck in a career and you're thinking, what am I doing? This isn't what I want to do. I was very happy in police work, but I knew that there was something more. I had a sense or a feeling that, okay, I'm kind of scratching the surface here, but there's something more. And I was in my kitchen on a Saturday morning in Bailey, Colorado, and I was getting up to make a pot of coffee because I got moved to the morning shift. And I'm walking across my kitchen, and one of my cats was lying there. And as I walked past him, I said out loud, I was the only one up at the time, my husband was still asleep, I said to him, well, hi, Biza, how are you? Because I talk to my animals out loud all the time.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Yeah, I think you have to.
I agree.
And he answered me. Yeah. And I heard him say, I'm blocked, but I heard it in my own head, in my own voice, but it was very clear. He said, I'm blocked. Now, this cat suffered from a feline urinary syndrome, which is really painful. Their urinary tract gets blocked, and they can't use the litter box, and it's very...
Aww.
And he had been suffering from this off and on for a while, and I had just had him in just that same week, and he had been fine. And so I thought, oh, my gosh, you're blocked? And I looked at him. I said, did you say that? And I heard again in my head, yes, I'm blocked. And it was a very urgent feeling, like this is, yes, Mom, come on.
Right, right.
So I went over and called up my vet and scheduled an appointment, brought him in. Sure enough, he was blocked. And as I'm sitting there in the vet's office, my vet's sitting there scratching his head, and he's like, you know, Karen, I could barely tell that his bladder was full, and it's really hard to palpate it. He goes, how did you know? How did you know he was blocked?
Oh, boy, so what did you say?
Well, I was a big chicken at the time,
okay.
And I'm not embarrassed to admit that, and I didn't say anything. I just told him I had a feeling, but, you know, now I would tell anyone. Well,
of
my
course.
Cat told me, of course.
Exactly, because that's the truth.
Yes, and
yeah.
So it was that moment, Goldie. It was right at that moment when I realized, oh, my gosh, my cat just said something to me, and it was accurate. But it took an urgent message, and I was very quiet within myself at that moment. I had just gotten up. I don't even think I was really awake yet. You know, I didn't have any other thoughts in my mind at the time, and that's why that message was able to come through so clearly.
Right.
And it
right.
really is where you have to get quiet within yourself. You have to be, you know, in that frame of mind. Like, I have my work mode. I don't know about you, but when I'm working, I'm working. And when I'm not working, I'm not. And I don't tune into all the animals wandering around all the time. I just don't. I would never get anything done.
Right, right. That's totally understandable. Yeah.
And you have to shut that down at times. You know, you have to preserve your energy and use it when you need to and focus when you need to. And I had someone ask me one time, is it talking to the animals a lot like that movie with Mel Gibson, you know, What Women Want, when he could hear all the...
Oh, wow. What a great concept. Is it?
Yeah. And you know, in a way, yes, but it's not quite as crazy as the way
okay.
the movie was with... all of them kind of talking at the same time. No, it's not like that. But when I do tune in with them, I have a tendency to hear it in my own voice. So it doesn't take on. I've had some British accents come through. I've had some male or female voices come through. But most of the time when I'm in session, I'm hearing their messages, but it's in my voice.
Okay.
So, but it is very similar to that movie, where you don't always know what they're talking about right at that moment if you happen to just start getting messages from them in mid-sentence, so to speak.
Right, right.
You know, it's a little bit like that. They love to send little snippets of things. They love to, and then right in the middle of them talking, they'll flash something at me, like they'll send me the outline of like their favorite place to sleep or their, you know, something in the house or whatever. And then sometimes they'll send me emotions and feelings, and I'll get an incredible sense of love or feeling loved, or I'll get an incredible sense of fear or panic.
Right.
And then they can do all of that at the same time. So I'm really juggling, when I'm in session, I'm juggling all of this incoming information, if you could kind of get that picture. It's all coming into me at the same time, and I have to try to juggle it, figure out what they're saying. What is the feeling attached to it make me feel like? And am I getting any sensations or feelings anywhere in my body? Because they'll send it to me, like if they're having pain or discomfort somewhere, I'll feel it in certain parts of my body. And then sometimes I'll get drawn to an area, like I just did a session earlier today where it was a standard poodle, and they weren't sure what was wrong with it, and I kept being drawn to the abdomen and the liver.
Okay.
And it turns out that the dog had an Addison's disease type of attack, and there was something going on. There was some liver damage. And so it doesn't always come out like a full medical diagnosis, like what your vet would come up with.
Okay.
But I get pulled to those areas. I get drawn to the area where they're feeling their pain or discomfort.
Well, but and couldn't, I mean, so even like if they were having a session with you, if someone didn't know what was wrong with their animal by getting a session with you, they might be able to say to the vet, can you please check out their liver or direct them to, you know, where maybe even the vet might not, you know, might not know to look there.
I get so many clients calling me because they're frustrated that their vets don't know what's wrong with their animals.
Right.
They've spent hundreds and thousands of dollars on tests and everything comes back normal, but they know that there's still something wrong with, you know, their pup or their kitty. And I can go in there and find out, okay, is it an emotional thing? First of all, is it emotional? Because you can't treat emotional things with antibiotics.
Surgery. Or, exactly. All right.
You got to deal with the energetic attachments of those emotional issues. And animals carry emotions just like we do.
Absolutely.
They have good and bad experiences. They may not remember them in a full context the way we can, but they certainly do remember that they had a bad experience with, you know, a man or someone with a hat on or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And it can really be helpful in providing more information to your vet so that they can check out other areas. And then here's the tricky part, Goldie. I see their energy. And when I am in session, the animal's energy will appear to me and I'll get drawn to a certain area that may not even show up on the vet's blood panel yet or the x-ray.
Right.
Because what I'm seeing is energetic and that's not what they're looking at. They're looking at something completely different. It's just something that I love to use as an aid to assist when we don't know what's wrong with them and we're trying to figure out how we can help them and what they need.
Wow, that's amazing.
So
that is
amazing. It can really, really help. And, you know, they are truly amazing. Animals are amazing at covering up and masking their illness and their injury. So by the time you and I have realized that something is wrong with them, something is already developing or has already been growing in their system or whatever for a while because they're masters at covering it up. And I don't know about you, but I feel horrible and guilty, like, oh, my gosh, why didn't I catch it sooner? I should have, you know, checked it out. And, you know, really it doesn't make you a bad mom or dad to your animals. It just makes animals really good at covering up their injuries and their illness.
Right.
They're
great
at it. In the animal kingdom, to show an injury or illness is a sign of weakness, and they can often get kicked out of their herd or their flock or whoever they're hanging with because they have an injury. And you know what happens out in Mother Nature.
Yeah, yeah. Without the herd or whatever, they die. I mean,
So they can be very, very, very good at covering up things. You can have a perfectly healthy dog, 9-year-old lab, for instance, that I just had a session with, was eating and drinking and playing and all of a sudden just literally collapses on the living room floor.
Wow.
And dies from a rupture of the spleen.
Wow.
Yeah, and nothing up to that day had led anybody to think that there was a problem there. And there probably were tiny little signs looking back, but, you know, if you are not tuned in with them or if you're distracted or if you have a lot going on or you've got kids and spouses and work and bills, I mean, we're not always tuned in to that sort of thing. So it can really help. It can really help out a lot.
Well, and I think what would be important to talk about now, because from my own personal belief standpoint, death is far from the end. I mean, you know, death is just an eternal aspect of life. So you were speaking earlier that animals help you know about the other side. I think this is a great segue because I think animals, I have said to many people, you know, animals definitely view or process death differently than people do.
Well, absolutely.
And with that, that's why I think part of it. So I would want people to know, you don't, if you didn't see your dog's spleen coming to, you know, that it exploded and then they died, they know they're okay. They know they're eternal. They know that even when they're alive. We know that after we've passed. They know it when they're alive, or at least that's what I don't know. I guess you would know that better than I, but that's my sense of it, that they know that all the time.
Well, I will tell you that the animals, generally speaking, now there's always an exception, but generally speaking, animals are very accepting of the death and dying process. They don't see why we get so upset about it.
Okay, okay.
And if does that make sense to you?
Yeah, completely, completely. Thank you for that. Actually confirms something, so thank you, yes.
And if they see us getting upset and in turmoil and, you know, kind of losing it, they will start to lose it because they feed off of us. They're
right.
They're like a little barometer of us.
Yes.
I can always tell if someone contacts me and says, you know, I'm having a behavior problem at home, my dog is doing this or my cat is doing that, I can almost always trace it back to some kind of turmoil within the household. Almost always.
Right, right.
But it only goes to show that at the end of life or when the animal is preparing to pass, that if we are a wreck, an emotional train wreck, and, you know, just carrying on, and I learned this message firsthand, that we're making it 10 times worse for them.
Right.
And so we have to try to find a place in our heart where, of course, we don't want to lose them. We can't sometimes imagine our lives without them. But we have to trust that our time with them has to come to an end, and our bonds of love never die. We will always be connected to them. I have, in sessions, animals tell me everything from what their moms or dads had for lunch the day before to what they bought at the grocery store, and this is a deceased animal telling me. Tell Mom I was in the grocery store with her buying toothpaste the other day.
Oh, wow, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's hot.
It blows me away. I'm so humbled and amazed by this stuff, but I had a session with a client who lost her dog. He was only 7, but he had a terminal disease, and she did everything to keep him here longer, and he just couldn't hold on anymore, and he transitioned. And on his year anniversary of his transition, she contacted me for a session, and there were many beautiful messages. But she started to cry towards the end of the session, and she said, you know, Karen, I just want some kind of sign that he's still here with me. She was so heavy in her grief and so sick in her grief that she couldn't sense him or feel him around her.
Right.
And that's normal. It happens to me too. So the dog heard me, and he said to me, tell her about eating Mexican food or burritos or tacos or something like that. So I said, I'm supposed to talk to you about when you had burritos or tacos. And she goes, well, yeah, I had it for lunch yesterday. And the dog said to me, tell her she skipped the sauce.
Wow.
And so I repeated that to her, and she goes, oh, my gosh, Karen. She says, I was at one of those Chipotle-type places, you know, where they make it in front of you.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to watch my calories, so I told him to put the sour cream on the side.
I'm sorry. And the dog picked up on it, which is really so endearing. I mean, come on, that's just endearing.
I know. So when they tell me these things, I mean, truly, it shows you that they are with us all the time. They can literally be in our thoughts and see what we're doing, what we're eating. I had another dog one time. I have a client in China.
Oh,
and
wow.
Her dog passed away, and this dog was her entire life. She was completely devastated, and we had a session, and she got up at like 3 in the morning or whatever for her session, but one of the first things the dog told me was, tell Mom I love her beautiful new haircut. She looks beautiful. Tell her I love her hair. And I can't see the person because I'm on the phone with them, so
right.
I don't know what she looks like or what her hair is doing, and so when I told her that, she was just absolutely flabbergasted because she had just gotten her hair permed, and it was like really curly, tight.
Yeah.
And her family hated it and were just teasing her about what an awful haircut she had, and she was really upset about it. And here's the dog saying, "Tell Mom I love her new hairdo. Tell her she looks beautiful. I love her new hairdo."
I mean, I'm going to cry.
I know. And
I can feel that love, that unconditional love through the veil.
It is there.
Wow.
And you just have to trust that it's there. And you have to understand that grief makes it very hard to feel them, sense them, or to get their messages. Most animals that transition will try to come to us in a dream. That's the easiest way for them to let us know that they're okay. It might be a weird dream. Like, it might not be, "Hi, Mom, I'm okay." You know, it might be some weird, you know. I don't know about you, but I have some really strange dreams. And it might not make sense to you, but you'll remember that your animal was in it, and that's just their way of saying, "I'm here and I'm okay."
Right.
And it really is something that they have taught me over the years, that they don't worry or stress about the death process. They see it as a natural stage, and they don't understand what we get so upset about. And our emotions can either make it better for them or make it worse for them. So just keep that in mind. And I have a really fun story to share with you, if you will allow me to indulge again here.
Oh, of course. Well, quick question, though, because I want people to hear this clearly. If we stay in the grieving period too long, does that hamper the spirit of that animal?
Okay, good question, and here's the way that it comes to me. I have some clients who literally stay in a grief state or in mourning for a very long time.
Right.
And the animals are usually pretty okay when they transition. And moving them into the light and being welcomed into that pure love, it's something that once you've experienced it, you will never forget it. And we don't have to worry about our animals who have transitioned. But when they see us grieving and being upset and they see how sad we are, it makes them feel bad, like, "Oh my gosh, what am I doing to my mom?" Or, "What am I doing to my dad? I'm making them so sad." You know, "Oh my gosh, I'm responsible for this."
Okay, that makes total sense that they would take it on themselves.
Yes. So they start to, like, try to help you, and they want to, like, help you be happy again and feel better again. And they kind of obsess, or they can put too much energy into us instead of continuing on their journey, which they journey as well, just like we do.
Right.
And sometimes their journey is to return, like to reincarnate, and sometimes their journey is to stay there. And it all just depends on how many times they have been here, what they want to accomplish. I mean, it's all very intricate and very detailed. But if they're constantly having to hover around us because we're in such a state of grief, then you can see that they can't really put their full attention into their journey and what they need to do.
I think that's exquisite that you're letting people know that, because I think ultimately the healing begins when we start allowing things. There's a process of letting go on the physical plane, but once we let go on the physical plane, the connection can be made on the etheric plane with us on the physical plane.
Absolutely.
You know, our emotions will pick up on that the animal is around us, whether we, you know, have a sense of them or a smell or a feeling, whatever it is. You know, mourning is natural. Mourning for an extended period of time is not.
Right, and we all have to move through our grief and our pain, Goldie. There is no shortcut. There is way out. And it's very deep. And I have clients, literally, that have called me up saying they are suicidal because they have lost their animal companion.
Yeah, I honor that. I can understand that because I don't have children, and my cat is literally my little girl. I mean, that's my girl.
Right. And this is where my law enforcement comes into play here, because I was actually trained in victims advocate and responding to a crime scene where there had been either an abusive situation or a death or a child abuse situation.
Oh,
and
wow.
So you see what I mean about looking back?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is, oh, my God.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't tell you how many suicide calls I went on as a police officer.
Right.
So I was trained to do to help people in a different genre, of course, but look at how that training comes to help me now.
Absolutely.
And it really is something to remember that we only get them for a short time, and some much shorter than others. But no matter how long you have them, if it's 10 years, if it's 1 year, animals do not view the quality of their life by the number of years they spend with you. That does not equate to success to them or a happy lifestyle. What they talk about and what they bring up in their sessions are the moments and those little innuendo things that they did when they were here. And it doesn't matter that they only were here for a year or 5 years. It doesn't matter to them.
Right, right. Well, it's quality. It's not quantity.
Right.
That's huge. We should all be in such a space. I mean, that's what I think the humans can clearly learn from. You know, because, you know, truth is, when we call animals, are we not animals as well?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too. Last time I checked, I believe we're animals. I mean, it's like there's such a humility in the, you know, in the cats, the dogs, the horses, the rabbits, the ferrets, you know, the things that we've taken into our homes and treated like family. And, you know, I'm just always amazed at what those little nonverbal beings can show me. And I mean, and I'll admit, when I had the reading with you a couple of years ago, I couldn't believe how much she really did, like, understand my plight with her.
Yeah.
You know, like, there was a tremendous amount of gratitude. She was the first cat that I've always gotten my cats or dogs from the Humane Society, but she was the first cat I got that was 2 years old. They had told me she was emaciated, and they told me she had been pretty much on the streets for 2 years. And, you know, you look at that and you go, trouble. just from a very third dimensional point of view. And yet something of her spoke to me, and it was like, well, trouble or otherwise, you're coming home with me. I mean, that's all I know. If this is a lesson in acceptance and love and healing, well, then we're going to go through it together. I mean, and that's exactly what it has turned into. I mean, it was amazing to me how much she got of really a deep experience of my love towards her.
Yeah, and there are I can't even formulate the words here. I've had sessions sometimes, Goldie, that have been so profound, so overwhelming that the messages that come through that I'm literally speechless because I can't believe when we find out what they're talking about. For instance, I have a client whose dog passed away about 2 years ago, and she and her husband were contacting me for just a quick check-in. They just wanted to say hi to him, see how he's doing. And both the husband and wife were on the phone with me, and the dog, his name is Jack, said, bring up to them the one that isn't sleeping well. Mention the one that isn't sleeping well. So I asked the husband and wife, which one of you isn't sleeping well? And the woman said, well, that would be me. She says, I've been having trouble sleeping lately. And I said, well, Jack wanted me to mention that. And she goes, okay, well, what did he want to tell me? And Jack said, tell her to check her glands, GLANDS. In the glands. And, you know, at the time, we didn't know what that meant, and she didn't know what that meant, and so we just kind of continued on with the session. And I record all my sessions so that you can go back and listen to them again.
Right.
You know, afterwards. So about 2 weeks later, I got an email from this client, and she said to me, I took seriously what Jack said in the reading the other day, and I went to my doctor for a full checkup, and I had him check all of my glands, and she said they discovered breast cancer, and it's in my lymph nodes. It's in the glands.
Oh, my God.
She said that it was very serious, and it was pretty far advanced, and they were scheduling her for surgery, and this was in, like, September of last year. She had surgery in November, and now she's done with her radiation treatments, and she's back to work, and she's doing fabulous. But had she not gotten that message from her deceased dog, Jack, she said she wasn't even
aware of it.
A checkup for who knows when.
Wow.
So she really does feel that message from Jack saved her life.
Indeed.
And when things like that happen, you know, I just sit here and I'm so humbled. I don't even know what to do with myself, because it's like,
I hear you, babe. I don't know. I mean, you just sit back and feel the joy that everyone was where they were supposed to be, including yourself, and revere in that sacred moment.
It's quite a moment to know that I have connected someone with their animal and brought forth not only messages of love, and of course we want to always hear that they're okay, and who are they hanging out with, and what are they doing over there, and you know, you never know who is going to come through. The animals also bring humans through for me.
Yes, that's what happened. Yes.
Yes. And I know that you're familiar with this as well. The animals are basically my conduit to energy, and they can bring through deceased human loved ones. Even if it's an animal that's alive and living and here, they still have the ability, because they're so accepting of energy and they're so used to it, unlike us. You know, we have to practice it, but they don't.
Right, right.
And, you know, for all of you who have animals that stare up at the ceiling up in the corner of the room, or, you know, they bark at something that you don't see that's not there, oh, there's something there, all right.
Exactly, exactly.
There's something there, but they're real sensitive to energies, and they will bring through deceased loved ones. And I have to just crack up, because the other day I was starting my sessions, and I had a full day of sessions ahead of me, and the very first session this gentleman came through, a deceased gentleman, I'm going to say retired age. He kept showing me that he was sitting in a recliner with a remote control in his hand, and he was watching baseball, but he was yelling at the television, like yelling at the team. And he showed up in every single session I had that day, and I was booked all day. And nobody claimed him. He said his name was Bill or William or something like that, and I asked every client, would you please let me know if you have a Bill or William that sits in a recliner and watches baseball, because he won't leave my office.
Oh.
And every session, here he was in his recliner. So finally, the end of the day rolls around. I had one session left, and I was like, okay, this has to belong to the last one.
Right? You at least hope so anyways.
My client calls in, and I said to him, before we get started, I just have to ask you something. Do you have a Bill or a William that watches TV in a recliner yelling at, oh, that's my Uncle Bill.
Oh, there you go.
He says, oh, yeah, we used to go over there and watch sports and baseball. And he goes, oh, yeah, he used to get really mad at the teams and yell and scream at them. And he's like, oh, how's he doing? I said, well, much better now. He's been hanging out in my office all day. He won't leave until I let you know he's here and he's sending his love. So
that's funny. That's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting that they actually, you know, cross over into other people's energy. I mean, they're just, it's like one, you know, it's like a soup out there, and then they're just coming through whenever they can.
Yeah, it is. And it's really, it amazes me sometimes who they will bring through, because it's not always who you think.
Yeah.
You know, I have people say, you know, well, why would my mother-in-law come through? Well, why would so-and-so come through? You know, it's not always who you think it's going to be, and sometimes it's not even a relative. I've had sometimes school crossing guards and next-door neighbors. Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, this really one cool story I have. I was in Portland, Oregon, doing an expo out there. And a family of four sat down, mom, dad, and two kids sat down for a session. And this, we were talking to their dog. I think it had passed on, a deceased dog. And the dog brought through this human male energy who gave me the name of John. And I asked them, do you have a John, or do you guys have somebody, John, that has passed over? They kept saying no. And this John was showing me like a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. He was showing me a camera and pictures and photography. And I said, I was relaying all this information, and they're just shaking their heads going, no, 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 no. They had no clue who this was. 2 months later, I get an email, and the email says in the subject line, you don't know me, but. And so I open up the email, and it says, my next-door neighbor was at an expo having a session with you, and I believe my deceased brother, John, came through. He died on his Harley Davidson in a motorcycle accident, and he was a professional photographer.
Oh, wow.
So you talk about finding
crossing.
Yeah. I mean, how crazy is that? These people, I don't even think they knew John personally, but John knew that they would get a message back to his sister because they're next-door neighbors, and for some reason, he knew that they would tell him
about the ring. Wow.
I know. It's crazy.
Well, it's amazing how, you know, the communication, it's like they really do see a bigger picture. And I think that's clearly part of the lesson as well, about the bigger picture.
Yeah, and truly, this one, this will blow your socks off, too.
Okay.
For all the cat lovers out there.
Okay, woo! That's me.
Okay. I'm a cat person. I do cat rescue. I do feral cat TNR, trap, neuter, return.
I'm very active
in the cat industry. But anyway, I was having a session one time. A woman called in, and she was contacting me because she said her husband's cat, now pay attention, her husband's cat was going potty in her $400 Nordstrom designer shoes.
Oh.
But not in, like, the $20 pay less, buy one, get one free shoes.
Okay.
Okay. So she wanted to know, first of all, why was the cat doing it, and would you please get the cat to stop doing that?
Interesting.
So I checked in with the cat, and, you know, I have to be really gentle about how I approach things because you can't just throw something at a cat like that. I mean, you kind of have to get him talking first. So I was asking the cat what it liked, what it did, and all this stuff. And so finally, when she was kind of chatting away with me, I said, so tell me about why you're going potty in your mama's shoes. And she said to me, because I don't like it when she and that man lock me out of my bedroom. And because I remember she had said that her husband's cat was going potty in her shoes.
Okay.
Okay, so stay with me here. So I said, okay. Oh, so your mommy and daddy lock you out of your bedroom and that's why you're going potty in the shoes? And she goes, that man is not my daddy.
What, she was having an affair?
Yes.
Oh, no, she was not.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
But wait a minute. Now, she's on the call with you while you're doing this communication? Oh, my, Karen. Wow. Okay, I'm interested. Keep going. I'm curious how this one ends.
here's a lesson in morals and ethics for you. Okay.
So funny. Okay.
My job is to deliver the message, right? I mean, that's what they're paying me for. They want to hear the message. And she called because she wanted to know why the cat was going potty in her Nordstrom shoes. Now, I never did find out why she liked the more expensive brand because of that by that time it was a moot point. When
exactly, of course.
Found out what was going on, and so. I thought about it for a minute, and I said, you know, there's really no way to sugarcoat this. I don't know how else to say this. So I told her that Kitty was unhappy because Mommy was locking her out of the bedroom, and that's why she was pottying in the shoes.
And so you didn't bring up the man?
I didn't, but she did. And I said, so are you at some point locking Kitty out of the bedroom? Well, no, we let her in there all the time. And I said, no, she tells me that she gets locked out of the bedroom. And then there's a silence, and she goes, oh. And it hit her. She
of
knew.
Course. Right.
So, you know.
Well, God bless you for letting her save face. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
That was quite tactful. Of course.
I didn't want to dump that on her, you know, because
yeah.
She knew what she was doing.
Of course.
And she got the answer. Now she knows why Kitty's going potty in her shoes, although I still don't know why the expensive shoes were better.
Well, I think she's driving that message home.
Yep. And I was really shocked because when the kitty told me that, you know, Goldie, I was, here I am, this unsuspecting pet psychic. I'm not thinking
of
that.
Of course. Right, right.
You know, I'm thinking kitty has a bladder infection. I'm thinking, kitty doesn't like the litter box. You know, I'm thinking of all these other things that it might possibly be. And here it says, I don't like it when mommy and that man lock me out of my bedroom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that is hot. That's a great story.
I know.
Is that story in, now, is that in a book? You should put that in a book.
No, it's going in my next one. I'm working
okay,
on
definitely.
Which, thank you for bringing up my book. I do have a book.
Okay, please, absolutely.
It's called Hear All Creatures, and it's full of stories like what I'm sharing with you. This particular story is going in my next book, but it's on Amazon, and it is really an amazing insight to a lot of the things that we're talking about today, what the animals in the afterlife are doing, and how I got my first message. It actually came from that kitty I told you about, but there's another twist to that story, and you'll have to read about it in the book because
there you go. Okay.
I almost stopped talking to the animals because of all the mean things that my family and friends were saying to me about being a pet psychic.
Really?
Yes. And I remember in the beginning when we got started here today, and you said, you know, I'd love to hear about that path and for, you know, how that was for you. I almost didn't do this because of the disapproval I received from loved ones. And it took a message from a very unexpected animal who wasn't even mine to get me back on the path of communicating with the animals again, because I was not going to do it anymore. I've lost friends over this. You know what's so funny? We're all on Facebook. And join me on Facebook if you haven't, but I try to get on there as much as I can. But I will have, like, friends from high school or something find me, and you know, when you accept the friendship, you can't read their whole profile until you're
in the friend, right, until you've accepted them, right.
I'll have someone, like, from my past, a high school friend or something, they'll be like, oh, Karen, it's great to see you again. Oh, let's get caught up, and then they read my profile, and they read what I do, and they unfriend me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So it's
even
really,
in this day and age, I mean, I'm fascinated with that, Karen. In 2009, when every major network has either a UFO hunter, a ghost whisperer, you know what I'm saying, or a psychic. I mean, I live, breathe, eat paranormal, psychic, animal communication, consciousness, awareness, ascension. I can't imagine people defriending you.
Yes.
I'm fascinated now with the people that are afraid to open themselves to this type.
You just hit it on the head. It is a fear. It's fear based, and I'm very okay with it now. But
indeed, in the beginning,
when I first started this journey, I was not. I was very sensitive to what people said about me, and I've learned from being a cop that, you know, you can pretty much throw anything at me. You're not going to hurt my feelings anymore. You got to
be pretty
obnoxious to hurt my feelings. But, you know, the average person hasn't been a cop and hasn't gone through that kind of training and that kind of work and situations. So it can be really devastating when your family and friends and loved ones who you rely on for support start saying mean and hurtful things about you and what you're doing. And I experienced that from my own family. And fortunately now there is an acceptance, and you know, now they're sending their friends to me, and they're my biggest fan. But it took a while to get there because it was a really weird concept for them. No one in our family had ever done anything like this before, and so there was a lot of I'm going to say very unhappy campers of what I was doing. It's bad enough I was a cop at one point. You know,
yeah, they must have been thrilled with that too.
Yeah.
I can just imagine. Yeah.
You know, it is like rolling their eyes. Okay, what's Karen going to do now? You know,
you know, it's funny because I was raised Jewish, and when I was cleaning houses before I was nannying, oh, the eyes are, you know, because Jewish people don't clean other people's houses. That is just unacceptable in that little land. And so I, you know, but with all that being said, you know, truth be told, if you listened to them and did not do this work, would you have anywhere near the feeling of deep fulfillment in your life that you have now? Would you have it if you continued to either stay a cop or go into or go back into mortgaging or whatever?
I have been blessed so much by the animals. They have changed my life for the better, and I feel like I'm a better human being because of what the animals have shared with me, and I'm still a work in progress. I still need to have more patience, and I still need to be kinder to myself, but I truly am so grateful for what they have taught me. I've learned more about life and living and death and dying from the animals than I have from any other human being on this earth.
Rock and roll, sister. I mean, and I wanted to drive that home, because if there are people in your life that are choosing to defriend you or disown you or not speak to you or speak harshly to you because you're following a passion, you know, that passion, I promise you, will fill the void from which those people are now creating if they're leaving your life, far beyond keeping the people in your life happy.
Correct, and it is truly, when you look back on it, they're not really your friends. The true
right,
friends,
because they would support you.
Exactly.
They don't. It's not like we say, hey, you have to quit your job and come be a healer, or you have to quit your job and come be an animal psychic. This is our story, not their story. And yet they tend to want to make their, you know, they kind of, they, I hate using they. When people want to put their beliefs on you and they don't fit, have the sense of self. I highly recommend go to a quiet place, start breathing, and there's big love for you, Karen, on the, are you still on? I don't know. Oh, you're not. Yeah, you are. Okay, big love for you on the chat room. to walk your own path, to walk authentically your own path. I stress that on every show I have, no matter what the guest is, no matter what the story is.
It's so true, and you know, it's funny to me now, and I'm going to leave you with a little carrot dangling here, because I've had so much fun today, and I know that we really wanted to do some readings, and I hope that you'll invite me back to be
done.
Able to do.
Done. Karen, I love you. This is the first time, and your stories are exquisite. You, my friend, are real. It's not your reading. It's you that I want back.
Thank you. I just want to put a little tickler in that the book, that my book, Hear All Creatures, is about following your passion, whether it's animal communicating, whether it's singing, painting, graphic design, whatever your passion is. Mine happened to be talking to the animals. Yours can be something else. But the underlying theme of the book is don't let anybody get in your way. Mm. Don't let anybody tell you can't do something or you shouldn't be doing this or shame on you, you should be in a real job doing something real. I can't think of a more real job than saving somebody's life.
Yeah. Through your passion.
Yep.
I wish I had one of those buttons where the audience starts screaming yay, but yay!
You need a peanut gallery.
Pardon?
We need a peanut gallery sound.
I don't have any. No sound effects, but you,
no,
Karen, what a blessing having you here. And it really was a perfect show, perfect.
Oh, I had so much fun, and I just love you to pieces, and thank you to all of your listeners for wanting to listen to my silly little stories, but I've got a million of them.
Well, but listen, animalcommunicating.com, Karen, I highly, highly recommend a read with Karen. Highly recommend it, whether you do it on a show. Also, if you befriend her on Facebook, she'll let you know when she's going on people's shows, so you can get a mini read. But if you've got an animal and you want to feel and sense this animal from a deeper space, book a reading with Karen. She will take you deeper than you really know is possible from the animal's point of view, which is what a full circle. It's just exquisite. Just exquisite. Thank you so much for being here.
And God bless you, Goldie, and thank you for having me on, and bless you all of your listeners.
Oh, thank you. And the chat room is all saying thank you. We love you. I will definitely be in touch to rebook. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to come back, and Robin Marvel will be on the show. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Almeen's classes have no curriculum or specific format. There are no predictable topics. The reason is that this remarkable mystic provides an unparalleled, transfiguring experience, most certainly not to be encountered anywhere else on Earth. Almeen has been given the most sacred task of assisting the infinite to usher in Earth's ascension. Everyone in these classes share in executing assignments from the infinite. Information beyond students' wildest dreams pours in, and those who enter the classes as students leave as masters who have silenced the dialogue of their minds. To learn more about this amazing mystic and teacher, visit www.spiritualjourneys.com. Almeen will be in New York on Friday, September 11th through Sunday, September 13th, 2009. For more information on how to register for this profound class and for hotel accommodations, visit www.almeeninnewyork.com. That's almeeninnewyork.com, or call Golden Hawk at area code 203-847-5787.
Hi, welcome back. Wow, what an amazing hour with Karen. She's an amazing guest. I was truly honored with her stories, and no read necessary. Karen, you as a human being, you are welcome here anytime, all the time. Okay, coming up now. Gosh, I always try to breathe during the interims. I have another incredible person. My brain is not working, so let me just get Robin on here. Robin, I'm not able to function in the intro of you. Please don't be angry. I love you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I love you, too. I'm excited to be back.
Oh, it is so good to have you. Robin is one of my favorite people, okay? I'm not even going to read this. This is just off the top of my head and truly in my heart. Robin works with children and creating consciousness, awareness within those children. I mean, let's talk to Robin about what she's doing, because, Robin, you have a new book out.
I do. I have Awakening Consciousness, a Boys Guide out now, so I'm branching out to both sexes with my workbooks.
Well, this is good, considering we have lots of kids out there who happen to be boys.
Right, that's true.
Indeed. So, okay, so what does it mean to write a book of consciousness, conscious awareness with children? What does that entail?
What I did was I went for like a workbook format so that the kids could really have fun and play with it, because like I always say, we learn on a play scale. We all do, whether we're adults or kids. And what's really cool about the books is that these kids can go in and develop a sense of security and some self-esteem and have fun while doing it. So, win-win.
It is win-win. Because, you know, think about it. I don't know about you, but if I grew up with someone supporting me from the inside, you know, from my inside, I truly would have been on such a different path. Now, I'm on the inside path now, which is the path of confidence and the path of trusting myself. But I can't even imagine nurturing that path literally, you know, from the womb, to the cradle, you know, to the playground, to the world.
Yeah. It really changes the perspective of a whole entire child. I mean, I speak from experience, and I have four daughters, but, you know, my oldest daughter's 13, and she was in the public school system till sixth grade, and then I homeschool them now. But I see her friends come over, and just the amazing difference of a child with confidence and, you know, self-worth and loving themselves and knowing what they're all about compared to a child that is lost. I mean, I consider it lost. You can see the difference, and it's like, it blows your mind. You're like, holy cow, wow. If only I could have known what I know now.
Yeah, well, and what's beautiful is, I mean, you do know, and you're writing books to help those who want to know have the tools. Because I don't have children. And ironically, I'm a nanny. I have two families that I work with. They're all girls. So I flipped through your book, but one a very good friend of both of ours, and in fact, we can unmute her so she can say hello. I sent Trish the book because Trish not only homeschools her son, she's also, she's got a son. Hey, she's got one of those little boys.
Yeah.
So I sent the book on to her knowing that it's like she'll utilize it and Zach will utilize it. And, because I can't even tell you how excited I am that there are, truly adults, whether they be parents or teachers or clergy or spiritual workers, that are really grasping the idea that we can actually go through life and not forget as we start getting older. Like, I think there's a famous story that a four-year-old says to the baby in the crib, help me remember, I'm starting to forget. Yeah, and it's like, they don't have to forget when there's adults in their lives that are coming back online to help them know you don't have to go offline.
Right.
Let's stay online all of your life.
Yeah, it just really strengthens them. I mean, from a little age, like you said, from the womb out, just knowing that they're good with who they are and not creating that victim personality. I mean, once you know that you're creating your own reality, once you teach them that, then there is no victim. I mean, you can't even have a blame factor in your life. So imagine the difference in a person who realizes, hey, I'm here and I chose this. I mean, even as young as 5 years old, they can realize that and know that even younger. You know, if you're just
So. Robin, where's my audience, the crowd going, yeah, yeah. Robin, you're my hero. You are my hero. And is Alana listening to this? Do AWT Travel, I want Alana hearing this radio show if she's around. Thank you very much. That's just a young woman who I have in my life who is very, I've been sharing the exquisiteness of understanding that we create everything. Oh, my God. Understanding that at 5, think about how much stuff you created between 18 and 28 in that unconscious realm.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I created some of the deadliest times of my life in those 10 years.
Yeah, it's true. And, and that was a lot of the drive behind writing the books. I mean, I looked back at myself in high school and before that, and I was like, wow. I mean, I sit and look, and I just want to go back and smack myself and hug myself. I can't decide and just be like, Robin. And I see it in other girls. I see it all over TV and the media, and I see it everywhere, and even in my real life and other little girls around my area, and adult women around my area, and I'm just like, come on, you guys, come on. So hopefully the book reaches a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't have really, gained that strength. I really hope for that.
Absolutely. And also, okay, I want to say AuraSenseGuide.com. That's
yep.
Robin's website. Trish is going to put it up throughout the hour. Your message, I will do everything I can to help you get your message out because your message is a universal message. And it's the message that I truly believe the awakening is happening because one more generation has fallen asleep. All we have to do is help remind the children and teach them initially not to go to sleep, and there is no more unconsciousness.
Right, and all the programming. I mean, it just makes me sick to my stomach to see all the programming that goes on, and the school systems and, just parents and just because of the cycle, these people are repeating cycles and they're going through the same cycle over and over and over. And you just, they just got to get that one little glimpse of it's okay. You're perfect. You're
absolutely
perfect the way you are.
Yeah.
And move forward.
Yes. And if you were perfect, what would you create? If you didn't have to worry about being worthy of it, if you didn't have to worry about, pleasing another, what would you create if it was just for self in the divinity of because it you feel like creating it?
Exactly. And so many people don't get that, and they don't hear it. And like I was saying, my town, I know I've mentioned this before, small.
No, mention again. Yes, please.
So, okay, my town is 384 people, and I would say it is the It is very closed-minded. I mean, very shut off from the bigger picture of life, very much so. And people don't hear, you'll say chakra, and they're like, what? Oh, you're a witch? You know, instantly, that's what it goes.
Exactly.
I would say it's a struggle, but it's really not, because for me, I'm strong in who I am, and I don't really care. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
People are the ones missing out. But there are people in this area who have kept it hidden. Like, I had my husband's cousin actually stopped at my house, and we were talking about my books, and she's like, oh, I studied numerology for 11 years, but I don't dare tell anyone in the family because they'll think I'm doing voodoo or, you know, and something as simple as numerology.
Exactly.
But it's just the mindset around here. So, you know, so hopefully the book will reach those that need it around here too. So
absolutely. And indeed, Robin, it is a power. It's almost like the wind agrees with the message of your book. So it flies with the wind. You know what I mean? I'm saying the magic around, because the magic of keeping someone awake from the earliest age up through creativity of building drums and knowing Mother Earth and all of that. These are like the, you know, what friends of mine would call the old ways that are very much needed, because the video games and like you're saying, the programming and the school system, which is such a crack up. I mean, it's like the schools, the doctors, and like the lawyers, they all seem to kind of have this little like hold on consciousness that is, don't change. We must stay the same because men need to be in power. Something to
that
effect.
Yes, they do. Oh, my God. I agree with you so much. And it's all fear. They just want to keep everybody scared all the time. I mean, look at it in school. If you have a kid that's outside the box in school, I mean, they're
drug them. Drug them.
Yep, drug them. I've personally witnessed a teacher at my nephew's school tell my sister, drug your kid or don't bring him back. Get them on pills.
Unbelievable.
And I just wanted to choke her. But, you know, it's their ignorance. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I would know, you've got freedom of speech, Robin. Speak it, my friend. I agree. And what's crazy is they turn out to be the ones that, unfortunately, in their restriction of who they are, go around blasting high schools, you know, because their whole balance is out of whack.
Yep, I agree with that, definitely. It really frustrates me, the whole, I mean, especially in my area. I don't know about bigger cities, and I'm sure there's problems there too, but like our schools are, the people are so small. I just always say, I'm too big for this place. I'm too big for this place. That's my famous line.
Yeah.
But like I say, I'm here, and I mean, I guess I bring light to what I need to while I'm here, and then I'll move on.
No, indeed. And, of course, you are clearly anchoring it into not even just the people, but the ground itself.
Right.
Because I always say, especially at this point, in 2009, nobody's not exactly where they're supposed to be.
Exactly.
There is a rhythm. There is a wisdom to life right now. Because I crack up, I'm in either the wealthiest or the second wealthiest county in America.
Wow.
You know, and you know, if you got to know me, I live on minimal money. And I always say, well, why did you put me in the woods in Montana? Why didn't you put me, you know, in Missouri, Ohio? I don't know, someplace where it would be more, you know, where I would fit in. And, you know, the answer I always get is, you're exactly where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say that a Demi Lovato song, which is my ringtone on my phone, and it says, this is me, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, and that's my reminder, because it's true, and I think that everyone needs to know that you're right where you're supposed to be, and everything is, it's in a cycle, you know, it's happening the way it's supposed to, and you just got to be patient and live it, you know,
yeah.
Live the moment.
Yep. Yeah, no, oh, rock and roll. Now, so let me ask you a question, Let's go. Let Goldie come back for a second. I was all fired up there, my friend. Okay. I'm curious about your personal, because I know that you're connected. I'm curious if you're even getting this from your children who are also, I mean, to keep them connected, I mean, they must be like truly little amazing wizards and wizard dress. What would be a female wizard? I don't even know. But and female wizards, how are they feel? Are they feeling like, you know, we're going through the birth canal? Are they like, what's their sense and what's your sense of what's happening from the bigger picture?
From the bigger picture, we really are all in sync, me and my daughters and my husband too. They're really amazing people. And my daughters are so strong that sometimes it's like they'll do something and I'm like, wow, holy cow, you know, where did that come from? And even my my three-year-old, ever since, I mean, I'd say it started probably a year and a half ago, we would walk in a room and she'd be sitting there completely in like the lotus position, and you'd say, Camden, what are you doing? And she'd be like, meditate. And how a two-year-old would, I mean, obviously
wow.
She's aware of the word and stuff, but, and doing yoga, like every morning we do yoga and we clear our auras. I mean, from the book, from my Girl Guide and my Boy's Guide, you know, we clean our auras and
wow.
do the chakra sizes. So we're really, and I explained to them, you know, my big thing, I know I went off question, I'm sorry, but.
No, please. I'm totally open to that. It's all good. I'll bring you back. No worries.
my big thing with them right now and with everyone as I'm teaching is they're such a speck in this huge mammoth world of opportunity and beauty and limitlessness. You know, there's so much they're connected to, because I think with kids, like we were saying, video games and stuff, and most people in general forget how connected they are to everything.
Yeah.
And so I like to show my kids that, and I like to show them, you know, what they're giving out, they're getting back, things like that. So really they're just really in tune. They're just so lucky. I envy them, because I would have loved to have that when I was a kid. So I'm really thankful that I'm able to give them those opportunities and other kids too. And that's why I do what I do, is because I want these other kids to say, no, I don't want to play the video game. I want to go out and lay in the grass, and I want to go out and hug a tree or whatever it is at that time, you know, just so that they can feel that connectedness to the whole picture.
Indeed. I mean, because I love it, being outdoors. I mean, I remember, because we didn't have video games, we wanted to go outside. I mean, that was where we were playing. I mean, because when I was a kid, we were playing, me and my friends used to, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. We used to play I Spy, but not I Spy like today, but I Spy on my neighbors. But, I mean, we would, you know, I get that, you know, I mean, because then we were literally walking around, you know, looking in people's doors. But we would go into, like, abandoned factories down the street, or we would go into, down the road there was a barn, and everybody said that the barn was haunted. And, of course, it wasn't.
Right.
It was just, it had bats or owls or whatever it had in there that would make sound. But, I mean, it was such a creative process. Everything we did, we created stories around it, and you know, what I'm learning now as an adult, what we were creating is universes and dimensions, because we were playing the game, you know, whether we were spying or when we went to the factory, it had all these rooms in it, and it did seem to be very James Bond. We always seemed to have the thread that we were saving the planet, and you know, and there was,
yeah.
And it's interesting though. I guess there was violence in it, in the sense of the saving. But I mean, I've seen people that just their kids are playing games where it is a virtual shooting of people, like
yeah.
that. They're going into war zones and they're killing and shooting people.
Well, it's such a mindset these days. I mean, just like TV and stuff. I will not watch the news. I absolutely will not watch the news. And if it even flicks through it, it's just so negative. And I think that's with the video games too. You know, we're all, you know, we're created, but we create our reality by our thoughts. And what kind of thoughts are we having if our 10-year-old kid's sitting there shooting people on a video game? What kind of thoughts is he processing or she processing? You know, you have to think about that, and you have to be strong with what you're giving to your kids, because that's what they're giving back. And if
yeah.
you're sitting them in front of that TV at 6 o'clock at night and you're watching the news, and even if you think they're not, they're still hearing it and it's still going through, and that's creating, I mean, this is my perception, you know, I'm just going from my perception. They're creating based off of what their thoughts are, of what they're seeing, you know, so it's just all interrelated.
I could not agree more. I mean, we are, it's like we are what we digest, and what we digest is not just food. We digest what we hear, we digest what we see, we digest what we feel and smell. I mean, so let's get back for a second. So, okay, so I love the idea that you tell your kids, you know, or you suggest, or however you do it, hugging a tree is a great way to feel connected, because I am one that will honestly say trees hug back. It's not even just you. There is a certain level of consciousness. I mean, I was hugging trees long before they were hugging me back, but when that first tree hugged me back, I just bawled my eyes out and went, wow, this really is interactive, and I'm finally reaching the level of awareness where I know that.
Yep.
And it was exquisite. Any other suggestions, though, that, you know, the listeners might utilize to help kids remember? And who am I kidding? This is for kids / adults. This is for everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? We say that this is for kids, but I'm out there hugging trees. I'm out there, you know, taking walks and smelling the fresh air and, you know, just having the empathy that, you know, there's a lot of people going through a lot of tough times right now, and like, to have an empathy about that instead of, you know, like, in Fairfield County, you just don't know. These children, if their parents don't open them up to it, they don't even know what it's like to live, you know, in a lower income neighborhood. They don't know poverty because they literally are in this protective bubble of materialism.
Yeah, that's so sad.
And you know what's so funny? When I go to like the lower income neighborhoods, their children smile more, they're playing more, the families are much more connected. I know this because I've lived, I'm back in my father's house now, but when I moved out, I moved to a place called Bridgeport, which is essentially a lower income neighborhood of Fairfield County. And it's, I mean, everybody in the other towns all look at Bridgeport like it's the garbage dump of Fairfield. But when I actually lived there for 3 years, Robin, it was so clear to me that there was a sense of family, of devotion, of connectedness, that in the you know, 40 years, 35 years, whatever it was, that I lived in Fairfield County, including the nannying that I did, which put me literally in people's homes, the million-dollar homes, every now and then I would find a home that the parents had this. But the majority of the families, the father was out. The children didn't even know their father because he's basically out of the house 120 hours a week. And the mothers were so busy decorating and redecorating that the nanny was raising the kid, not them.
Well, you know, that's just it's so sad because so many families work like that. And, you know, with the lower income people, I don't think it's specifically just lower income, but I think that people forget all that they have. I think that they forget to have an attitude of gratitude. They forget the beauty in things, and they forget their kids because they're so wrapped, they're so programmed like that, you know? And then these kids, it drives me nuts because the parents like that, and then they're passing it on to their kids. And unless those kids get a spark somewhere where they're like, whoa, I do not want to repeat the cycle, it's going to keep going on like that, you know?
Absolutely.
It's going to be the next generation.
Absolutely.
It's just really too bad. It's just really sad, but you know, I think it all has to do with sense of self. I really do. And that's, you know, that's another thing that if kids can learn this, I mean, they should teach this stuff in school. And not just because I write books on it, but because...
No, I agree. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. These are the learning... These are lifestyle qualities that is the difference between a successful human being and someone who feels like a failure.
Yep, exactly. It really makes a difference. You know, these kids in school, there's bullying and all that stuff because these kids don't have self-love. They don't have self-confidence. And I don't care. This is my opinion, and I stand so strong by it. It's the reason why these kids have so much anger is because they don't know how to love themselves. And you can't give away what you don't have.
That's
all they know is to give back that pain and anger in their bullying or in their closing off from the whole entire world. And, you know, it's just like these kids need to know you can love yourself. Go for it. Adults need to know that too, you know.
Indeed.
They need to know. People just need to know that love is so huge. I get so frustrated because so many people, you know, they're hoarding their love, and you can only have my love if this, and, you know. And there's so much of it. There's so much love out there. What are you scared of? What are you scared of giving this love away? you know, give it. There's always going to be more. Just keep giving it.
Well, Robin, right on, sister. I'm with you. And, you know, it's interesting because most people in our, I don't know if you're in my age bracket. I think you're a little younger than me. But most people, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, who have not had the awakening anyways, they actually believe that love is romantic or towards a family member, and that's it. So,
yeah.
In other words, you can't love your neighbor, you can't love the grocery store clerk, you clearly couldn't love someone from, like, a country like Iran or Iraq. That would be out of the question.
Right.
And it's exactly the premise based on what you said. They literally think, okay, I've got 9 pints of love. if I give away 3 of those pints, now I'm 3 pints shy.
It's so true.
They just don't get that the more love you. Because I remember when it started hitting me in my own awakening process that if I didn't start learning to find the love that was around me, which at the time was not romantic, I'd never find romantic love.
Right.
Because I had to start opening up to what was. And what for me, what was around me was such a genuine love of friends. My friends have gotten me through some of the darkest nights of my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm forever and eternally grateful that I knew enough to say, love is. Dot, dot, dot. This is not, because I, you know, the programming comes in between, unfortunately, the Walt Disney and their little fairy tale princesses, and everything you see just about on the media, shy of Roseanne, you know,
yeah.
I mean, some of these programs, or Married with Children, I mean, it's like, give me something real other than what's those little cartoon people? South Park. You know, it's like the reality of life is coming through the cartoons in life, because the things on that are showing people are, it's the program that, you know, the industry of weddings are making billions.
Oh my God, ridiculous.
And dating services are making billions. And I'm not saying don't go out there and try and find that, but there's, you know, look, stand still, take a breath. Look around you and see how much love there is in your life right now.
Right.
Whether through friends, through the trees, through their pets, through, you know, it doesn't have to be, because there's a lot of relationship issues that are, relationships are just crumbling right now.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I think a lot of that has to do with people awakening, like a lot of women in general, you know, what I've read about and learned about are really starting to love themselves. You know, they're starting to come into their own, and they're
exactly.
Like, wow, I'm just going through the motions here, and this isn't working for me. So, you know, I contribute a lot of the high divorce rate to things like that. I really do, just from what I've researched. But, you know, I think that a lot of it has to do with loving yourself. I think it all has to do with loving yourself.
It all, agreed. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So share with us, Robin, some of the ways that you love yourself. So people, you know, because I always say, let's speak from first person experience.
So personally, how I love myself?
Please, yes.
Okay, I love myself by living in gratitude all the time.
Mm.
I'm always grateful for every little piece of my life. I mean, it can be as small as having watermelon in the refrigerator. I mean, I get so excited. Another way that I love myself, and this is going to sound so silly, but I am an avid yard saler. I love to yard sale. And I know it sounds so trivial, but...
No, you make it sound beautiful. No, I was going to say it's not trivial when you say it.
I love it. And when I find a good deal, everybody I know hears about it. So funny, because I will call and go, oh, my God, I found this, you know, beautiful dress in the yard sale, and it's so perfect. And, you know, I have to call everybody and tell them, and they're like, it's a yard sale dress. I'm like, you don't get it. Like,
exactly.
You know, so those, I think that the simple things like that are what really help you to be thankful for you, because those are your things, you know, and everyone has them. And I always teach, you know, a big thing that I teach everyone in all of my workshops and everything is an attitude of gratitude, because you can teach this from as little as a 1-year-old child. If you're angry or you're miserable, find something to be grateful for. I don't care if it's a plant in your freaking living room.
Right.
Look at it, love it, say, oh, that's so beautiful green, and it's doing such great things for the air, and take the time to do that. And I'm telling you, it's going to shift your attitude, because it is impossible to be in a state of gratitude and a state of despair at the same time. It just doesn't work. So it's a good way to shift your vibration, raise your vibration in the whole energy of the house, in the room, or wherever you're at, even if you're at work, you know, it's gonna change that. And so I challenge people, take the attitude of gratitude test.
Robin, I'm feeling you. I'm loving you, girl. You're exquisite. I mean that sincerely. You, because I have plants all over both of my rooms. Because on those dark nights when if I'm lonely or if I'm miserable, I'll literally look at them and feel a tremendous sense. Because I'll tell you, too, when you start learning to talk plant talk, plants talk back.
You know, plants have auras. They've proven that. So they're very energetic. They illuminate energy all the time. I mean, they're just this brilliant source all the time.
And absolutely. And it is literally more oxygen, but there is I didn't know they had auras. I mean, I knew it, but I didn't know it had been proven, because I'm telling you, I feel them. Well, I'll tell you, this is a true story. The last year of my mom's life, she had cancer on her sternum, on her breastbone. Now, where her bed was situated was, okay, if she's lying in bed, to the right of her, there was a window about 3 feet away, and we had a, an iron thing of plants on it. The plants did not grow towards the sun the last year of her life. They grew towards my mother.
Wow.
I swear to God, and I would come in
oh,
and look.
That's so neat.
Yeah, the arms of the plant, the vines, were growing towards my mom. It was exquisite, and she didn't recognize it. I saw it. She didn't recognize it at the time, and I was like, that is incredible. I mean, it was like, I think they're a very compassionate being, the essence of being, because I know when I go to the woods, it is such a tremendous experience for me, especially, it's like what happens is initially I would just go and not feel bad. I mean, that was just the initial, because when my mom died, I went to the woods because there was just something intuitive just said go there, because it hurt less. Her passing hurt less. Now, 8 years, 9 years later, I truly get that it is such a magical experience being around these beings.
It is. There's such energy.
Oh, they're conscious, too. I mean, they are literally conscious. And the stuff that, you know, you're talking about in your books, on your site, this is all about something that we knew as kids, we forgot as we got older, because we were told to forget. We were told not to fantasize, not to daydream. Don't use the right side of your brain, you know. Memorize, memorize, memorize. It's like, you know, we don't have to. We can undo that, and we can help our children never have to undo that.
Exactly. I agree with that, and I think that all the time. You know, I think, like with my own girls, like Camden, she's 3 now, but, I mean, this is a lifestyle we've lived since she's been born, since before she was born, so it's so nice to know that she's not going to be 30 years old cleaning out her chakras and learning to love herself and feeling complete and whole. She's going to have that. So, I mean, imagine the power, the empowered human that she's going to be at that point. I mean, just think of the change in the world.
Absolutely.
But we have the opportunity. I like to say we have the opportunity and the obligation as parents and caregivers and adults right now to say to these kids, you know, take it and run with it. You are amazing. You're changing the world. Everything you do is touching people, and you are just amazing. I mean, I can't say that enough. Kids need to hear. Adults need to hear. People need to know that they're just so spectacular, and they're just really changing the world.
Well, and, you know, what's amazing to me is I can't wait to see the world when it's authentic.
Yeah.
You know, because think about it. You know, it's like, because I honor that, you know, change the attitude, but sometimes we get sad, and that's not a bad thing. Like I was talking with Karen, you know, mourning, it's part of the whole spectrum. You know, anger, sadness. These are emotions, you know, that I don't believe you or me are advocating not to feel. But I believe that we're advocating that there's more to it, because clearly the planet right now is feeling, you know, tremendous angst and fear. And because, I mean, what I'm thinking is, not only when we keep our children connected do they become, you know, truly citizens of the planet, not citizens of their neighborhood or citizens of their particular ethnicity. You become citizens of people, citizens of the Devic community, angels and fairies, citizens of the animals and plant kingdom. And it's like when we become citizens and we have this confidence, now all of a sudden we can genuinely be who we want to be. You know, because I saw a thing on YouTube or on Facebook where a gentleman who loves to dress up in Peter Pan's clothes got married. And I saw all the writing about what they were writing about this guy. You know, people are like, well, it appears freaks can find partners easier than normal people. And I saw the judgment of the world on this man literally being in his heart's desire and his joy being Peter Pan, and how it offended everybody. It's like nobody would allow his child to be out. They wanted him to be a grown-up. When will this guy grow up and go to work? And I'm like,
yeah,
what if he never grows up? But look, he's in the midst of making his life amazing. He's married.
You know, people, I see that all the time, and I especially see it in my town because it is very close-minded. I'm not joking you when I say that.
Mm.
And you see it all the time. There's nobody who can be different. How dare you if you do anything different from what is the norm around this place, because you will be ridiculed, you will be burned at the stake, so to speak, you know. And I just think to those people who say stuff, because I go through a lot of that, you know, because I am different from everybody and my family is and whatever.
Right.
And I just think, God, that must be so sad for those people to live in that much anger, that much despair, that they want to attack other people that they don't know.
Absolutely.
You know, I try and send them love. I really do, because I think, what place are they in? And, you know, at first I used to get so mad, like, how dare they? How dare they say that about me? And I would get angry. And then I finally realized, well, that's just a waste of my time, because those people are hurting. They're so...
Right. Yes.
That spot, and they just, you know, and so I want to teach my girls, when somebody, you know, judges you like that, you just have to say, you know, I know who I am, and here's my love, because you need it more than I do.
Oh,
you know?
That's exquisite, Robin. That's exquisite. That really is. Because there's no need to react. You know, I tell people all the time, if a five-year-old kid walked up to you and said 2 + 2 = 5, would you react and freak out, or would you say, oh, okay, moving right along a little bit? You know, you would just kind of go, you'll learn. Inevitably, you'll learn. Why do we get so upset? And the thing that I tell people, if we react to anger and to judgment, well, then look at self.
Yeah.
Look at self and clear it in self. Because if it wasn't in you, you wouldn't react to it.
Exactly. I agree. Oh, I couldn't agree more with that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's hot because, and you know, what I try to tell people, if you have it in you, don't beat yourself up because it's in you. That's just more of the non-loving coming out. Turn to yourself and say, if I was loving, how would I respond to this?
Yeah.
You know, because love will respond exactly like, if it had 9 pints of love, love would give 9 pints away.
Mm-hmm.
That's how love responds. Just like you said, if someone was attacking or judging you, love would respond, you know, I love you. And okay, listen, if you know, I'll leave you alone, whatever it is. Because I used to say, if you don't like who I am, I'll go left, you go right. And if you want to go left, okay, then I'll go right and you go left. I mean, I don't have, because for a long time when I first had my awakening, I wanted to convince everybody that this awakening was, you know, you better be awake too.
they're missing out, really.
They are missing out, but we can't awaken those that are not awakened. We can send them love. We can send them a blessing. But we cannot be awakened for them. They have to, in their pain, because I read somewhere, even again on Facebook, pain is the breaking of the shell of understanding.
Ah, okay.
Ain't that hot?
It is. I love Facebook. I have a great community on Facebook, and it gets me through. I have the best group of friends, and I just love it. I absolutely love Facebook.
Yeah, no, I'm learning to be a fan of it, because I like expressing myself, and I see how when I express myself, like there was something I wrote recently about walking. Somebody said that we gotta stop waiting. Don't wait for the rain to stop. Learn to handle the storm. Something to that effect. And I basically wrote about when I walked through a hurricane once, how it was energetically amazing.
Yeah.
And somebody answered me like, you know, is this person, you know, are you really giving advice for people to walk out in hurricanes? Oh, that's just rich. And I was like, you know, I could tell immediately. I went into defensive mode, and then I was like, you know what, Goldie, they look at that comment and see the danger in it. So I just basically said, metaphorically or literally, facing storms has been very wealthy for me. You know, it's provided. And then I left it alone. I was like, okay, I'm out of here.
It's all perception. And, you know, people I mean, I think that's with any situation. What you say can be taken out of context, and people are going to hear what they need to hear and what they want to hear. You know, I've heard that a million times, and it's so true, because I can personally tell when I'm having a vibrationally super high day and I'm feeling good and I'm just up and up and up, and I read things and I go through things and everything's like go with the flow so easily. You know, I'm close to source, everything's perfect. But then you catch me on, you know, one of those days, because I think everybody has those days, and you're low. That's how you perceive things. You know, you're kind of like
absolutely
a little off about everything, I guess. So
yeah, well, and it's we're still working. You know, we'll become human angels and pure angels when that day is here. And until that day, we're gonna have our, because I do believe people that are feeling love, we are feeling the pain of the majority of the planet is in pain and not in gratitude.
That is true.
So it would be almost, you would almost have to be in denial not to be feeling, you know, the shadow or the darkness or the heaviness. Just there is a sense of great heaviness on the planet right now.
I agree, definitely.
You know, and it's okay to feel it. In other words, that's why I say this isn't about denial. It is there, but our attitude towards it can be. There's that, but then there's the plant in your room. Like, I mean, I really love that you said that.
That makes all the difference. It really makes all the difference in how you perceive it. I mean, my mom is like the most pessimistic woman I've ever met in my life, and she just. Negativity just hangs on her like a cloak, and everything she sees, you know, there's always someone out to get them. There's always, you know, the same situation.
Wow.
We can both go through it, and she will be a raving lunatic ready to kill somebody. And I'm like, it's fine, you know, it's fine. So, you know, it's all in how you perceive it. And that's why I like to, going back to that, how I like to try and see the other person's pain, you know, try and maybe grasp that before I react, because I never want to. You know, those people need love. They need it more. They need it more than anyone.
Well, they do need it more, and by us being able to do that is the confirmation that is indeed we are at least what we're saying we are, because, you know, we're pontificating all our stuff, so we should be that, or at least be thriving to be that, because nothing's worse than someone who, and I know a lot of these people, you know, they talk about the oneness, they talk about the love, and then they get in the car and they're bitching and moaning that somebody cut them off. And I'm going,
yep.
I literally say, if I'm in the car with them, this is like one of the smallest things to overcome. The car. I mean, it's like, because, again, the car is, I make my car, that's my sanctuary. I don't have plants in it, but I put feathers in my car. I've got little dream catchers. I've got my, you know, I got little totem things that I, you know, it's my world. It's my energy. I sit in that car. That car is me. I am it. So if someone, quote unquote, cuts me off, hey, if you're in a hurry, go. I'm cool.
I agree. Yep.
You know, I got my music. I got my essence. There's just nowhere I need to be 30 seconds faster than you. I'm getting there.
Exactly.
And you see it on, you see it all. I hear people all the time go, oh, well, I do, you know, I do bitch and moan about the about people on the road. And I'm going, if you're still bitching and moaning about the people on the road, then you need more time in the woods.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's true. People can, I have encountered numerous people who can talk the talk, so to speak, but do not walk the walk. And I've had
yes.
rude awakenings. And I'm like, wow. Because I think I'm a genuine spirit. I don't care what it is. I just love what I do and who I am. And I love helping people and guiding people and just being who I am. I love it. So when I see these people that come to me and they're like, yeah, I'm so excited about this and that, you know, and they, like I said, talk the talk, and then
yep.
I'm like, you know, let them in, and then you're like, whoa.
What? Well, you know, someone once said to me, if you watch for it, the light workers are some of the most judgmental people on the planet.
Really?
The light workers, because they're wanting to annihilate the bad. See, this is not about annihilating anything. This is about embodying all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And
yeah.
It's such a, you know, it's such a great opportunity. And that's why, you know, my husband always tells me, you're too quick to let people in. You know, you have to kind of feel them out. And me, I'm just like, come, you know. You're
yeah.
beautiful. I love you. Come. And then it's like, kabam. And you're like, So, you know, I'm learning.
Well, but, I mean, Robin, your beauty can't be touched by their ignorance.
Yeah,
I mean, you can use discernment and go, I don't want to hang, but truly, your beauty cannot be touched by their ignorance.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, no, I know, like, you know, in one of my teachers, this is a very radical statement, and it's funny because I wouldn't normally say it without that audience, but I'm going to say it. She teaches that 52% of the population, okay, you ready for this, are holograms.
Okay.
Now here's what's interesting, because this is all in reference to a quantum leap and things that have happened. But whenever I tell, like, people in my inner circle about that, they always say, okay, you know, because I say to them, okay, 52%, that means the odds are so in favor, you personally, everybody listening to the show, everyone has met someone who is non-souled. That's what a hologram is. It's a
oh,
being
okay.
that doesn't have a, and they're like, well, how would I know who's non-souled? And I say to people, I don't know who's non-souled. I just know when I feel present.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Because, see, what are we focusing on? Do we want to know the non-soul? If you're non-souled, you can't touch me in my presence.
That's right, yeah.
And that is what that reference is, that they bark really loud, but the truth of the matter is the presence of what you have is so magical and strong, and this goes for everybody out there that knows that they know who they are. That they're confident in who they are. And I'm finding that most people with presence are the ones that have been ostracized by the holograms.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so, you know, and what's amazing is now between, you know, radio shows or just general awareness, we're finding that we're not so alone. We might be alone in our town, but we're not alone on the planet, that there's people that clearly across the way and, you know, everywhere feel the way we feel and it's all about acceptance. It's all about joy. It's all about authenticity. It's like, these are the things that really, really make a person, real. You know, we stop being cartoons. Yeah. It's like, it's deep. Really deep.
It is. It's really amazing, but it makes a lot of sense. You know, you always hear those things that you're like, oh, okay, and you can compute it, and you're like, yeah, that totally makes sense. It really does. And
yeah.
And that's why, you know, like, that's what I was meaning about Facebook earlier, you know, because around my town I don't have people that I relate to at all. I mean, I can't name one person that has any kind of thing in common with me, I guess I'll say, or any
okay.
kind of spirituality or anything, or or vibrationally my level, whatever. And so Facebook is really that for me, because I get on there and I have all these people that are like wonderful and they feel the same way and I can relate to them and talk to them. And, you know, it's a connection. It's really amazing to me. I don't mean to go on about Facebook.
No, go on about Facebook. I'm on it. Go. In fact, to tell your, do you want to open up to the people where you can be reached on Facebook?
Yes.
Open up. Go ahead. Tell them your address or whatever.
It's Robin Marvel, or I also have a fan page for Marvelous Empowerment, which is my business, my workshops and stuff. But you can find me right under Robin Marvel. So.
Okay, awesome. Robin Marvel, you are marvelous. You are.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I like. We're going to be doing radio together for many years.
Good. I'm excited.
Yes. Yes. We're gonna talk about your children's wedding on our on my show.
About that yet. I'm not ready for that.
Okay, okay. Oh, I get that. Trish tells me that all the time. Don't rush me out. My kids, I get that. Okay, I honor that.
Yeah.
I honor that.
Yeah.
It was more of a timeline than it was. Okay, I hear you. I hear you. But indeed. No, indeed. Indeed. I mean, see, and I honor you for even accepting that information. I knew I could say that. And actually, the chat room is, they're digging on it as well, because I think it helps us to know that. See, this is where it comes down to healers that are genuine healers, people who are real. We've been told all our life, you know, we got to heal the world. You know, the world won't ascend until everybody comes, and that's simply not the truth.
Right, I agree.
The truth is discern, and this isn't about hating, and this is just simply when someone comes up to you, and if they're attacking or. You know, if they're just they're just spewing toxicity out of their mouth, and you can clearly see radiation spewing from them. You just tip your hat and say, "Have a nice day," and walk the other way. You don't have to confront. You don't have to cure. You don't have to heal. You just have to walk away.
And a lot of times, you know, it's hard to. I guess I don't want to use the word hard, but a lot of times you have to separate yourself from those people in your lives that are living like that, you know. And it might be challenging because there might be someone who's close to you, but you will be amazed at the difference in your own self when you can separate yourself from all of that negativity that that person's bringing. Because, you know, we intercept it.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so it's so nice to eliminate, or even just, you know, keep them at a distance. Like I always say, I love them, but I just can't have them a constant in my life.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I don't want people to think that just because they have family members who are unawake, that means they're holograms. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, a hologram is really, but there are family members who are holograms. There's all, because I mean, I had this one woman go, "What about my children?" And I'm going, "Well, you know, I didn't say it's your children, but here's the bottom line. 3 billion people are holograms. That means they're everywhere. They're old people, they're young people, they're infants. They're out there.
Yep.
They're just out there. So if you just basically take the perspective, which is what we've been talking about this, you know, the whole segment, if there's love in your heart, it's not your responsibility if someone is a hologram or isn't. That's just not your responsibility. Our only responsibility is be the expression of love, because love is the only thing that's real.
That is so true.
Yeah.
And that's so important to teach people. I mean, I just think it's so important to teach people to love. I really do. It's so huge. It's such a giant thing.
It is huge.
People just miss it, and it's so sad to watch them.
Well, they're so limited. Like, you know, it's like this is not about, we're not saying, you know, go out and bring everybody to bed. You know, because most people think, love? Oh, you want me to have sex with these people? It's like, God, no.
No,
not even close.
Yeah, it really is. It's sad, but, you know, it's just like I tell my girls, because, you know, there's a lot of really organized religion around our area. It's really strong around here. And I say, you know, just like my niece came over, and my oldest daughter, Emily, is studying paganism. She just wants to learn about it.
Oh, hot. Okay.
Follow it. Yeah, she's really, really into it. She loves it. She craves it. She reads it. I'm like, go for it, whatever
you want. Awesome. Very good, Robin. Awesome.
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. my niece comes over, and her family, not necessarily my sister, but the husband and the grandma have always been, you know, these big God-fearing people. And so now my niece is over here crying, like, why does Emily, you know, why is Emily a witch, and why does she want to be a witch, and is Emily going to go to hell? You know what I mean? So it's just, right. I tell Emily, I say, you know, you have to hug her and say, DC, people are different from other people. We all have our own paths. It doesn't mean I'm right and you're wrong, or you're wrong and I'm right. What it means is that we have different views. It's okay. It's okay to be different.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, what do you tell a 9-year-old child? And because of her programming, you know, what do you say?
No, of course, right. Oh. Exactly. But, I mean, Robin, what you just said is what love says. See the you don't tell her she's wrong. You say, we're all different. You know, yeah. Why is it that this culture is so afraid of diversity when everywhere, whether it be in the stars or in cells, there's nothing but diversity.
I know.
And all we do is reject, in our cultural views, diversity.
Yeah, that's so true. I know.
It's just amazing how we are so backwards to the rhythm of nature. And what's also amazing is, listen, Robin Marvel, Golden Hawk, Trish Lindner, AWT, Dream Master, everybody out there, we are starting to awaken and go, you know what, we are who we are. And Serena, I see you, girlfriend. I remember you from Daniel Jacobs. Sorry, I'm quoting my chat room. we are all shining in our authenticity, and in that shine, we are helping those that are asleep but sold awaken.
Yep.
It's exquisite. Hey, listen, do you have anything coming up that you want to plug?
I'm pretty excited. I'm going to be in Grand Rapids. I don't have a date, but you can watch it on my website and on Facebook. I'm going to be at the Ronald McDonald Charity House.
Oh, rock and roll,
really,
sister.
Yeah, I just got the email tonight where they want me to come and do my workshops there, and it's like the house next to the hospital where – you know, they're like a free, more or less a free hotel for people with patient, you know, with family members in the hospital.
Okay.
So I'm so excited to actually go there and have fun with these kids who might, or and adults who might be having a little bit of a rough time, and just boost them up. I'm really excited about it. I'm so happy to do that.
Robin, I want to do something with you, and I'll start this on air, but we'll end up having to, you know, we'll work. I want to make a promo for you that I'm going to run on my radio show every week.
You.
No, I'm feeling you, girl. And here's the bottom line. I got it. I got a 2-hour show. I can clearly rock and roll, you know, a minute and a half promo. We're going to work on this. I'll talk to you later, but I definitely.
Oh,
definitely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
Well, because, I feel you. I just feel you from head to toe in every cell of my body. And it's like, you know what? This is all about a sisterhood, too. Women helping women.
That's right. I agree. Yeah.
I am huge on, and I know that there's a lot of men out there that are very, they're in touch with their feminine, and it's about us helping them as well, and them help. You know, it's like, it really is about the divine feminine, connecting with the divine feminine. Because another thing the culture has clearly brought us around is they women turning on women with, you know, the fighting, the competing, and the cat fighting.
Yeah,
it keeps us weak, and I am so bent on forming a unity of consciousness amongst women and the women that come on my show, and my ear is ringing, and I'm getting vibes in my hand, and yes, hallelujah, this is what I'm supposed to do.
So sad, because it's such a competitive world. Like, people are so worried about being number one and being better and always having the best and always, you know. And I think that's
exactly.
A lot of women, and it's just like, chill out, man. There's so much of everything. There's such an abundance of everything you could ever want, everything you could. It's limitless.
It
so
is.
Just relax and help each other and love each other and, you know, make the world a better place.
Absolutely. Share. If we all shared everything, there would be no war. There would be no violence, because there wouldn't need to be. We would all be taken. Ah, the English lady has come aboard. Okay, we have 90 seconds.
Oh.
90 seconds. Sorry. All right, listen, we're going to get you back on, but I got your number. Can I call you during the week to okay, cuz we're going to do that, and I have all the equipment. I know how to do it. Oh, everybody's telling you that they're loving you, Robin. Everybody in the chat room.
Everybody, I love you too. Thank you for having me. I love the show.
Oh, mwah, we love you. And Ronald McDonald House, where is that one more time?
It's in Grand Rapids, and I'll be posting the date on my website and Facebook as soon as I know the dates.
Okay.
It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited to do it.
Okay, and Robin, I'm going to we need to connect Facebook. One of us sends the other one. Thing. If anything, I'll get it from Trish, if even though it's Robin Marvel. Yes, yes. We will connect on Facebook. Everybody, it's been amazing. Thank you, thank you. The chat room was awesome tonight. Thank you for understanding about Karen not being able to do reads and being there for me. Serena, love to have you here. Albert, thank you for being here. Dream Master, I love you guys. Trisha, you're the best. 10 seconds.
Well, you have a great night. Thanks so much for having me, and we'll be in touch.
Absolutely, Robin. Rock and roll. Give a big hug to your whole family. I love you guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye now. All right, everybody. Have a great night. I'll see you next week. Bye.